So here we are. This is September 1st. Oh, yeah, I got to change my calendar. September 1st. It is 10:07 a.m. It's the morning sermon. And the temperature in studio 201 is about 80 degrees. It could be cooler. It probably will be eventually. But this morning, let's continue with part three of our suicide stuff. And we've just been looking at the suicide thing. We went over just a bunch of reasons that people claim for suicide. Some are legitimate. I mean, how can you say legitimate? Well, you can, because these are some tough days. We have a tremendous amount of stress from, you know, computers and technology and stuff like that. Christians are starting to think it's okay to drink alcohol, social tipping, and it just turns into something worse than that. We have people losing jobs, no income, no insurance. I mean, and insurance is going bonkers on what it costs to get a shot, all that kind of stuff. Medicines are horrible. We've got a tremendous amount of confusion and misunderstanding in Christianity, where they think that God is going to punish you if you don't do the right thing, or God's going to withhold his fellowship, or God's going to do something because you're not doing your job right. Now, that's Old Testament stuff. The severity of God does not exist today as far as the dispensation of grace from Paul. And people not only do they not understand that, they don't want to understand it because it just sounds too good, because they know they're just too rotten. But you've got the Christians who tend to think that they're doing good, so they get God's blessings. And then when they find out they still lose their job, and they still lose their insurance, and they still have somebody die in the family, they still have something happen to them, and so then they think God doesn't exist, and then they disappear. You know, that's amazing what's going on out there. And I was thinking, let's see, what else we got here? Just people wearing out. Then you got the Paul people, which, by the way, you know, I'm a Paul-following Christian. I follow the risen Savior. You know, you didn't have to say that. It just, you're a Christian. A Christian meant that you know all about Jesus Christ from the Gospels, and you've accepted him as your Savior in Romans chapter 3, and Romans chapter 6, and if you want to go there, whatever, or you want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, wherever you go with this stuff, and you then follow into Paul's other apostle, then that's just how you be as a Christian. It's as simple as that. And yet, with the advent back in the late 1800s, early 1900s of the Great Commission, and then we got the ecumenicalism going on, they just took everybody away from the truth. Within the King James Bible, they were deceived, let alone the modern Bible translations out there, or what you want to call them. And the Bible believer crowd is being just as deceived as anybody else when they get that actual King James Bible within their hand that they're so proud of, and yet they ignore all the stuff by Paul because it has to do with their walk. And most Bible-believing Christians don't want to do the walk. Well, we don't really either necessarily, but we understand why we should, and we understand what happens when we don't. Nothing. Until the judgment seat of Christ. So we got the severity of God set aside for now in the dispensation, so people don't understand this stuff. And I think that's probably the biggest reason for so much of the suicide thing nowadays is people just do not understand about God. They just don't understand it. If they could understand what the risen Savior has done, I know it's. I've been without a job. I've been let go a few times, and it was tremendously scary. I've been in where it's been very depressing in life. I've been through all this stuff. And the suicide thing, well, I guess it enters your mind, but man, as soon as you think about it, it's like there has to be something better than that. So anyway, to me, the suicide stuff is a serious thing. Well, of course it's a serious thing. But people don't, and they read this stuff in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you know, where we just can't understand the things of God. Well, when you get to Paul, you find out that there's riches in understanding. And God allows us to understand a tremendous number of things. So the problem is people have been There's a bunch of problems. Another one of the problems is people have lost the scripture. They have no word of God. They've got a religious book, but it doesn't help them any at all. And so as a result, they lose their fellowship with Christ because, well, they don't hear from him. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about people that don't hear from Christ. They have no understanding. How's that going? Ephesians chapter 4. This is what we got. This is what's going on in people's lives. Christians, even, if they want to call themselves such. Ephesians 4, let's go to verse 20. Let's do this thing backwards. Ephesians 4:20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. That's verses 18 and 19. We'll get to those in a minute. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Well, see, people are not being taught by the risen Savior. They're being taught by the apostles, and they're being taught the Jesus teachings to the Jews, the earthly teachings. So as a result, they're not hearing from the risen Savior. They are not learning from Christ. So because of that, we go to verse 17. They're actually walking like a lost person. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. That's a lost person. A Gentile. Paul was out there to talk to the Gentiles. So if you are not hearing from Christ, then you are having your understanding darkened. You're alienated from the life of God. You have ignorance. You're blind. Your heart is blind. You give up your past feeling. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to dirtiness, sexual lasciviousness, the flesh kind of a thing, not all just sexual, but a lot of it, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So no wonder they want to. No wonder they're thinking of suicide. They have no idea. And we actually can have an understanding from God because he gives that to us from Paul. The riches of understanding. There's no reason to not understand some things. I have a little sermon in the back of my mind. I might do it tonight because there's a verse out there that people keep talking about, and all the Christians, it's everywhere. And it just bothers me. So we might talk about that tonight. But it's because people don't understand God. They don't understand the risen Savior. They don't understand Paul. They don't understand the King James Bible. They don't understand rightly dividing. They don't understand that they can trust his words as they trust him with their soul. If they find out they get his words, they probably will find out that he really doesn't have their soul, which is why they don't want to read a King James Bible or from Paul or anything like that. Total lack of understanding. They don't understand dispensations. Oh, they don't even understand what it is to do right, to please God. They don't understand the judgments. They don't. The lack of understanding is immense. And yet they're going to church all over the country. They're saying that there's a revival going on and all this kind of baloney. The spirit, you know, the faith is growing. Keep your faith, baby, and they keep these things going. Well, for part three of the suicide thing, then let's do what most people can't do. Let's look to God, his words from his mouth, directly to us, live from a King James Bible. In studio 201, Hazleton, North Dakota, on the Lawrence Welk Highway, hoping for a cool fall soon. Capital F-A-L-L. So let's just sit back this morning and let's just pop up some verses. These aren't all the verses by any stretch of an imagination. These are just some verses I kind of thumbed around and found. And this ought to be encouraging to people who's considering suicide. That's how to look at it. But like I say, if you're in constant pain, serious constant pain, of course, even dull pain can be problems after a while. It can kind of get just irritating to you. If you're jobless and you've been jobless, if you've got your husband or wife haranguing you over stuff that you have no control, like it's your fault, you know, kind of a thing, or even if it is your fault, still haranguing you. You've got kids that aren't interested. You've got kids that are suicidal. You've got kids that are deep into the world, and you try to keep them from that. If you have a horrible, horrible job, I mean, all sorts of physical things that I'm not going to fix this morning. I'll tell you what, if I was a billionaire, I still would try to fix it. I still send people money. And still, here, maybe this will help you out of it. Now, we realize that, Ezekiel, I think it was Isaiah, talking about the sister Sodom, one of the things that they didn't strengthen the hands of the poor and needy or whatever. Just keeping giving money to people doesn't always fix things. I don't listen to me right now. For those of you that are supporting the website financially, it still comes in fantastically needful. But if the people out there just sitting around and you keep giving them money, they're not going to get any better. I realize that. If I could have written a check for $30,000 a couple of months ago, I could have helped somebody get out of the debt they're in. But as I realized later on, it wouldn't have changed their lifestyle. They'd still be back in debt. So that isn't always the answer. However, it would be easier to be miserable if you had more money. That's how I guess I would have to put that. So let's look. What does the scripture say? What does God tell somebody that they don't understand that could really perk them up during these tough times? See, one of the things that people don't understand is they don't understand that just doing right is not going to get a blessing from God. That's Old Testament, that's Gospels, and that's tribulation. But Paul, our blessings are spiritual. And I know people have a hard time with it. Matter of fact, Mark's got a good sermon set up for Wednesday night. I think you'll find very interesting, if you can still do this in Mark, on America. It's just very interesting. So I hope you can come back on Wednesday night. I will still be here. I'm not doing sermons on Wednesday night myself because at school, I just don't have the time to give a good Wednesday night effort. I'll be there to answer questions or talk to people or whatever. But since they put the pre-kindergarten kids on me, the preschool kindergarten kids and kindergarten, boy, I'll tell you what, they take more of my effort and energy than any high school. Well, yeah, than even the high school kids, although the high school kids are quite often more immature than preschool kids. But anyway, I'm going to relinquish, is that the word, or just give up Wednesday nights to Mark, as he's either going to do his own sermon or he's going to do sermons from the past, which we got tons of stuff on the website that still ought to be interesting to folks. And if Mark or if Grandpa or Sam, you know, you guys want to do a sermon, Gary even, I don't know much about you, if you're with us on this stuff, which I think you must be, if you guys get yourself a microphone, we can make Wednesday night, Mormon night, where everybody gets a chance to stand up and talk. There you go. So keep that in mind, Sam, and you guys, get yourself a microphone and jump in. But Wednesday nights will be either Mark Live or Sam Live Patience, there we go, or Grandpa Live or whatever. Uh-oh, we just lost him again. No, we didn't. Who did we just lose? Oh, Sam. Oh, he has issues as well, too. I tell you what, this is so frustrating, this Internet stuff. You know what? And one clip, and the Internet could be down, and we're done. I mean, it wouldn't take that much. Okay, so anyway, back... No, wait a minute. Sam is still there. Who died and left, came back here? Who died and left here a minute ago? I don't keep track of these names that are up here. Oh, yeah. They don't last long. Juju. Wasn't that from Juju Petals or something from It's a Wonderful Life? Yeah, it's funny to watch the names on this Internet world out there. Names like Juju and, you know, Grandpa 666. You know, things like that. Just get some really odd names out there. So let's jump into this thing here. Let's look at some verses here that ought to be something to somebody. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'll take a sip of my juju juice here. I hope juju juice isn't some drug or something. I'm probably saying something I shouldn't be saying there. Hey, juju, you're back. Good. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, for example. And there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, fantastic verse if you understand it. But if you don't understand it, you think, well, you're doing something in the flesh. Your music is in the flesh. You're thinking in the flesh. You're dreaming in the flesh. You're looking at the flesh while you are walking in the flesh. No, not at all. Because if you go down to verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so maybe that's your problem. You're walking in the flesh. No, that's another Baptistic severity of God baloney there, because you were not in the flesh but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There it is. If you are truly saved, based on Paul as your only apostle, and he is your master builder, and he's the one that laid the foundation, he laid the risen Christ foundation to you, then you are not able to walk after the flesh. You can't. You can choose to do what your body wants you to do. You can choose to follow sin. Romans chapter 6, the last half of the chapter. But it's not imputed to you. What you do in that flesh will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. But you are not walking after the flesh as such, like you say. And then you are condemned. No. We have no condemnation. It's just that simple. We have no condemnation. Our soul is clean. It'll stay clean. There's nothing we can do. Even suicide, as Catholics like to say, that you rejected the grace of God, so you can't be up with Him. And that's just not the case. You've got to read Romans chapter 6, the first half. It talks about what Christ did. You read the second half of Romans chapter 6, you see what you can still choose to do. But it doesn't bring condemnation to you. It doesn't even bring God spanking. You'll reap what you sow. You sow in the flesh or reap in the flesh. But how many have done the right thing and lived a Christian life, to a point of, you're not bad, all that kind of stuff. And you still lost your job. You still have no income. Your health still stinks. You hurt. You have arthritis. You've got Parkinson's. You've got Alzheimer's. I've been thinking, Alzheimer's is a horrible disease for everybody except the guy who's got it. He probably could care less. Probably doesn't even realize he's doing what he's doing. So, I don't know. I guess it's something I call mine Parkinson's. My memory, short memory stuff is just really, maybe I'm just tired and maybe I'm just bummed about stuff. Like my principal said, why are you teaching when you should be out preaching this stuff? Well, it doesn't pay for one thing, but anyway. Okay, so we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and then 8 and 9, So if you go to verse 10, for example, and if Christ be in you, which we know He is as a Christian here, the body is dead. Well, yeah, our body's worthless. Just like I said, looking at these entertainers and people, these guys all get old. To see Tommy Smothers old was kind of weird. Well, look in the mirror. Okay, well, there. You want to see weird? There's weird. But my body, it says, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life. I'm alive because of the Spirit of God. So why would we want to commit suicide? Well, still, I don't have a job. Well, the brethren are supposed to help in these situations. We're not capable of helping each other anymore. We are all so rooted in debt and rooted in stress and rooted in problems and rooted in whatever. We can't do the job we should be doing as brethren. I say that. We had a chance back in this Tushy Church to help people with money, and we did. We helped people with money. We made the building available to them and blah, 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 blah. And we sent out money to people in our web families, and that's what we're supposed to do. That was the biblical way of doing this stuff. But, obviously, the coffin lid was nailed shut. So let's go to some more. Romans chapter 14. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. We're just going to be looking at verses that ought to encourage somebody to think twice before they pull the trigger or shove the knife eat the pills or drink the battery fluid or put antifreeze in your lemonade or whatever they do. Romans chapter 14, let's go look at verse 21. Now, the context of this thing is dealing with verse 1, people that are weak in the faith. Weak in the faith can be anybody, but they still have to be the brethren as such, because that's just what Paul talks about. And we just can't put a lot on their plate. Well, how does somebody be weak in the faith? Well, that's not hard. They don't know their Bible. They don't understand. They don't have the definitions. They don't read. They don't understand. I think I just said it rightly, dividing. They don't understand the dispensational thing. They don't understand King James only. Maybe they're not even the brethren. That's possible. But we have to be careful not to cause these people to stumble. I mean, we know that all things are lawful to us, but he also tells us not to cause these people to stumble. Okay, so that's the context of this chapter. Let's go back to verse 21, Romans 14, 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. In other words, you can eat flesh and you can drink wine if you're with people that are and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, all things are lawful. I know, seriously. You want to pop a few drinks? Go for it. But it'll cause, I guarantee you, it'll cause somebody to stumble. They will see you. The person that's offering you the drink wants you to take a drink to prove to you that you are not the Christian you say you are. I mean, anybody that offers you a drink, what you're doing is you're actually causing them to stumble. Because they say, see, look it, you can't not drink, so they will use what you just did, a little sip or whatever, they will use that to justify their drinking. Plus, knock your testimony down. But hey, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Okay, that's the context of this stuff. Hast thou faith? Have you got faith? Yeah, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. So is he telling us here to take a drink so we don't cause someone else to stumble, that they think, well, you're such a Christian, I'm not interested, blah, 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 blah? No, because there's also the things not to be expedient, things that are to be expedient, it's not to be power of the flesh. The list is there, six things there. But hey, have you ever had any NyQuil? Yeah, you can't have NyQuil, you can't have medicine, you're a Christian. Well, whatever we have done in our walk, and you know, in places we shouldn't have been publicly and all that stuff, hey, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Or look at it this way. You don't take a drink. You don't take the eat the stuff, all that kind of stuff, when these other guys are not around you, are not either, or whatever. There's nothing you can do to condemn yourself. Just quit condemning yourself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself. And then it goes on in that thing which he alloweth. So we put Romans 8 and Romans 14 together. There's no reason to condemn ourselves. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Now, we're going to be going back and forth the same chapter because I just kind of picked these out as I was flicking around here. Romans 8, chapter 3. Here's a good one. For what the law could not do, which we've all proven that, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the law has to be fulfilled flesh-wise. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He doesn't condemn us. He's condemned the sin. And if a person who was lost, he's still attached to his sin. He's still dead in his sins. So, Christ condemns sin, and then he cuts us away from it. So we're not the ones condemned. It's just good stuff. It's just fantastic stuff here. Let's do some more here. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I'm going to put my screen down here so I don't see if anybody's there yapping or talking or whatever, or coming and going. There we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Look at verse 1. I mean, as we flip around pages, you'll see other verses that should be encouraging. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, not by our works, but by faith, by faith, his faith as well, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, here we go, we glory in tribulations also. So a Christian should really not get depressed enough to commit suicide or to even think about it, because we should glory in these tribulations. Seriously? Well, that's what Paul did. Glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So why would a Christian want to commit suicide? Well, he still doesn't have a job. He still doesn't have any money. He's still in mucho debt. He's still got pain that he can't get away from. He's still got family pains that they don't let him go. You've still got all this stuff pounding on us. Pretty tough. Well, Paul says, glory in tribulations, because it's going to begin that process. Patience, experience, hope. And it's not a hope not to be ashamed of. It'll make you stronger. These are scriptures. Do you let scriptures work to you, or is this just a book of Quranish good advice of wisdom? No, this is what God is telling you. You pray and ask God, what's going on? How can I survive? I'm sorry. You pray about these things, like he says in Philippians, which we'll get to in a minute, and you want to know what God says. I'm telling you what God says to answer your prayers. These are some of the things he'll tell you. If we go to Romans chapter 8, and we go to verse 28, we see something else that he tells you. He would say to you, did you know that all things work together for good that love me? It doesn't say all things will be good. It says all things work together for good. There could be a lot of bad things in there that's working together for good. You can have a lot of disasters in your life. Marriage disasters, family disasters, children disasters, work disasters, income disasters, health disasters, computer frustration disasters, and all this stuff. And remember this verse. It says, listen, all things work together for good to them that love me. That's what he says. That's what he tells you. It's not just a cold book of wisdom and religious jibber-jabber. What they do out there with the modern Bible versions and the modern doctrinal stuff and this universal trend towards world government stuff, now what they tell you is profane and vain babblings. We don't have profane and vain babblings. We have rightly divided the word of truth. And we're looking at what God would say to somebody who's having a horrible time. Just because you're a Christian, oh, I want to do that verse that I got, that I just, it just got me so upset. We'll talk about it tonight. People think that God's just going to make everything right because you're the good person, because you love God. No, all things work together for good. Eventually, it's going to all work together. It's going to add up. You know? Okay, anyway, let's keep going. I got so many verses, I just yakked. 835. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now remember, people will say, yes, but you're the one that went away. You're the one that left him because of the trials. No. It says, shall tribulation, those trials, distress, persecutions. 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not in the Jesus of the Gospels, not in another Jesus, not in the Mormon Jesus, not in any of those guys. This is in Christ Jesus. That's the risen Lord. And that includes us personally. Tribulation, distress, nor powers, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, no height or depth, you know, or any other creature. That includes us. So there's you know, if you want to kill yourself, commit suicide, you're not going to lose God's love over it. That's pretty rough to say, because people sure think that when you commit suicide, the Baptists say that you're giving up on God's grace, you're rejecting God. So when you get there, you're going to wish you hadn't done it, all that kind of stuff. And the Catholics say another quadruple million years in purgatory for it. You know, your family back here has got to burn a couple thousand dollars worth of candles and give at least $50,000 to the local, what do you call the Catholic Church's priest, Catholic Church, temples or whatever they call those things, the little synod, that's Lutheran, whatever. Somebody said something here. Let's see what they call it here. Parish. There you go. I knew there was a word for that. And I know Grandpa 666, you live in major Catholic, but then again, so do I down here. But suicide is, hey, you haven't lost the love of God. You just made a wrong choice, that's all. So look at verse 35. We looked at verse 8:35. Did we look at? It went to 39. Let's go to Philippians. I know. Don't go there. Philippians chapter 4, classic place. Chapter 4. Let's go to verse 6. I mean, if this is not an anti-suicide verse, I don't know what would be. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Are you kidding? I don't have a job. Well, I don't have any income. Zero. I got bills coming in. My arm constantly pains. My back, my hips, my ankles. I can hardly walk. I can't get up when I sit down. I can't sit down when I get up. I got headaches. I got the whole eye thing, which still scares me to death. The whole losing your eyesight or one eye or whatever. I just can't even think about it. But hey, be careful for nothing. I know. Okay. Go to a different verse. No, let's do a different subject here. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, thank you for taking my eyesight away. It's going to work together for... Oh, tough stuff. Well, how much do you really know God? How much do you care? How much are you there? And then it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Through, there it is again, the risen Savior, Christ Jesus. That's referring to the risen Jesus. Not Jesus, but Christ Jesus. And then you read verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, they have a good report, and if there be any virtue and praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul. Hello. Do this stuff. I mean, follow Paul. Look what he's doing. Don't copy Paul. Don't imitate Paul. Just follow Paul's directions and his words. And you'll have the God of peace. So, you know, why do you want to commit suicide? Because you haven't got a job. Oh, I know. Hey, this world is headed to the tribulation. We know what's going on here. If the person you're with is causing you to not have peace about being the Christian you are, then read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 a few times, and Paul will give you the solution to your situation. He says in verse 15, God has called us to peace. But if you get somebody unbelieving, and they don't please to dwell with you, with what you believe, well, there you go. See, the solutions are there. do we just have the pizzazz to make it happen? Well, tough stuff. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I mean, I've had some people write to me. They've got some serious problems in life. Very depressible stuff. Very sad stuff. I wish, you know, I don't know what I can do to people. You know, I don't know how I can help. I don't know what I can do. I mean, hey, I got my own list. I don't want to listen to yours. Let me whine to you about mine. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Why do I have that one? 1 Corinthians, I said that's chapter 3. Verse 9, chapter 2. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is why the lost world has no clue. It's not written, they're not going to get it. They're not going to read it. They're not going to hear about it. It's not in their heart. And they just haven't got a clue. But, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The breakdown here is people reject Paul because they think, well, the Spirit of God is going to tell me all that stuff. I don't need my Bible anymore. I don't need a King James Bible. I don't need a living Bible, dead Bible, perverted Bible. I don't need to rightly divide. God will tell me in my heart. No, that's not true. Because of 1 Corinthians 13:10, it says, listen, when that which is perfect has come, then all this stuff, this is where it's going to come to us. It's going to come to us by the Holy Spirit, no doubt, through a King James Bible, and through a King James Bible only. You will not find this stuff in any other Bible, as they call it nowadays. So this stuff from 9 to 13 down there, which is a very spiritual thing, took place in Christians in Paul's days, in Bible days, and in early years, until a Bible came along in 1611. That's what I say. That's what I believe. They didn't have one before then. What about all the little, like Gift Boy said, what about all the little parchments and the little possible Bibles? Well, no. Who had that? God did 9 to 13 to people who were true serious Christians. And he would show them this stuff and he would remind them this stuff. And they'd have the Lord's Supper to remember his death, etc., etc., etc. And he would tell these guys what to preach, and he'd give them this knowledge. They'd speak in tongues, not a problem. Except when this Bible came along, that stuff all shut down, 1 Corinthians 13:8, and now we get that stuff through this Bible. You want to hear from God? Read your Bible. You want to hear from God directly? Read what Paul writes. That's from the risen Savior. You want to read about Jesus? Read through the Gospels. You want to read about the severity of God? Read the Old Testament. You want to read about what Jesus is going to do during the tribulation? Read Hebrews to Jude. You want to read what Christ says to you today? You read Paul's. And make sure you understand that Romans 13:10 says any of that stuff that was taking place before 1611, doesn't take place today. And you'll understand exactly what God wants you to understand. He will help you understand why you are in such pain. He will help you understand why the world is the way it is. He will help you understand why you don't have a husband yet. He will help you understand why you don't have a wife yet. He will help you understand why you're losing the one you got. He will help you understand why it's so hard to find somebody. He'll help you understand why your kids are going the route they're going. They'll help you understand why you blew it as homeschool parents because you gave them a religion and now they hate God. You'll understand why. And the list goes on and on. And there's nothing to be depressed about. Frustrated, sure. Irritated at yourself for not reading the Bible yourself 30 years ago when you could have figured this out yourself a long time ago. But anyway. Yeah, that's true. Perish. Isn't that? I never thought of that. A Catholic parish, P-A-R-I-S-H, and a parish, P-E-R-S-H. There was something else. What did they have that, it was an abbreviation of the website or something like that years ago. Something Catholic, and it spelled sin, S-I-N. Something like that. I don't know. Stuff like that was always kind of funny. Okay, back to the book here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 4:21. 4:21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Paul does not come to us with a rod. Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. That's how Paul comes to us. Okay, let's tie that verse together with Romans 11:22. Let's just make sure we tie this together for people. Nice to have Jujo still listening this morning. I bet you haven't heard this anywhere else. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell the severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, he's talking to the Gentile nation here, the goodness. So Paul is not coming with a rod. Paul is not coming with severity of God. Paul is coming with the goodness of God. And he's coming to us in love. And he's, I know, we hear that phrase, but it's true. And he's coming to us in the spirit of meekness, which is exactly how we're supposed to go to people. Not preaching the severity of God, but not preaching like it's a rod to beat him to death with it. Our children especially can't deal with it. We come to them in love and the spirit of meekness, and we give them the truth. Of course, Paul says, they're going to treat you like the enemy. Just because I told them the truth. Yeah. You'll see that tonight. If I remember all this stuff and pop it in tonight for this verse we're going to look at tonight, you'll see what's going on out there. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:21, we did that. Did we do that? We just did that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because see, here Paul says he comes to us in love and in the spirit of meekness. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to tie that in, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is how we go to our family. This is how we go to our kids. This is how we go to our neighbors. This is how we do this stuff. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:4, who comforted, let's see here, I go back to 3, talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, even that tribulation we want to commit suicide to escape from, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So we can learn from Paul, we can learn from these guys, because of that love that they received, they pass it on to us, we receive it, we pass it on to somebody else. Look at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. Paul's talking about this thorn in the flesh that he's got, which we all tend to believe that it was his eyes. He said unto me, he goes to the Lord 3 times, Lord, can you take this thing away from me, you know? And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boy, if you feel like committing suicide, you are just right at the top of God's strength. What? Well, most gladly, therefore, because of his thorn in the flesh, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You're not committing suicide. You get the power of Christ on you because you don't, you know, you're still alive. You're not giving in. So therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Oh, yeah, I got fired today. Cool, yeah. I have no money coming in. Oh, is that a joy or what? My back hurts. Well, my ankle hurts. Isn't that just the coolest thing in the world? Well, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Boy, I feel strong today. Do you really? Yeah, my back's killing me. My headache's there. My eyesight hurts. I've got a zit across my nose. My ankle hurts. I can't hardly get up out of a chair. When I do get out of a chair, I can't hardly sit down. And when I sit down, oh, yeah, man, I'm just having a great day. Christ is just, man, I'm just so strong today. No wonder Festus says to Paul, you're nuts, Paul. No wonder wives take off. You're nuts. No wonder guys take off. You're nuts. No wonder the kids go, what happened to mom and dad anyway? No wonder you don't fit in a job or in a school someplace. You know, I mean, this goes against everything. Why aren't you in the pulpit? Because this goes against modern Christians. They don't want to hear this kind of jibber-jabber. This is not jibber-jabber. This is the mouth of God. This is the truth. They'd rather listen to the profane and vain babblings and the flatteries. Somebody gave me a list the other day of good things you can say to the kids. I don't know if I still got that. If I toss that thing here, I think it's... It just makes you sick to read that stuff. I should have it maybe. I keep it though because it's just good illustrations. I think I might have tossed that. That was just like, this is sick. When the kid draws an ugly flower, you know, you don't have to tell, well, that is just a gorgeous flower. You did such a good job. No, son, that is an ugly flower. It needs to have a shorter stem. Just put some colors in. Show them how to make a pretty flower. Anyway. We got some more verses here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. It's about time I had a halfway long sermon. Let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Paul's up there talking about grace. Well, why don't you have grace for yourself? Get over what you just did. Keep going. Get up again and keep going. That's simple enough. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, which is just after Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, so how do you get this kind of thing? King James Bible. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. See, now there you go. That's a fantastic verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he can do that. I don't believe he's gonna depart from his dispensational truth that he has spoken to us. He can heal us if he wants, but not if it's gonna make a healer look like he's a healer. And you know. But then it finishes with according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, there's the key. See, this power that worketh in us. Wonder what that power is that worketh in us. Well, it's Christ in my heart. Well, nice guess, but let's get a little deeper than that. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you what's working in us that enables Christ to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, here you go, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What works in us? The word of God. So how is Christ going to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? According to what? According to the Word of God. No wonder the devil hates the King James Bible. No wonder Bible believers don't even like the King James Bible. This rally dividing thing, they'd rather go to a guy that draws well or has a big fancy powerful voice or whatever and have him tell you what all these different verses mean according to which dispensation they fit. No, they all fit if they're in Paul. You just don't know how to make them fit. You don't get it, do you? You really don't get it. Anyway, that's the King James Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 ties in with Ephesians 3:20. The power that worketh in us is the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Which, yes, of course, it's the risen Savior. Well, of course he's right, he's working us through Paul. And of course we understand Paul through rightly divided King James Bible. Right. That's all the same thing. Okay. Let's go to Oh, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12:9. I just got one of those notes there. I thought we were done with Corinthians, but too many people still get mixed up in Corinthians. But let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians 12:1, one breath. That was pretty good. My breathing is coming back. Oh, yeah, mass and a mess. Keep it up, Grandpa 666. 666, yeah, 666 or whatever. Where are you going to go with the word priest? Nun, I like the nun. In a nunnery where there's nothing, you know, none. A bishop. I'd probably better be careful for running into some of these things. Cathedral, cat, heed. We used to call them cat lickers when I was a kid. Catholics, cat lickers because of fish on Friday stuff. Catfish lickers or something like that. I don't know what to deal with. Okay, we're looking at 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let's see what this one is. Maybe I already did this one this morning. We did that one this morning. Okay, I should have to make note of that. Let's go to Philemon 7. Philemon 7. Looks like Philippians, but it has an M there, so it must be going to be referring to Philemon, which is right after Titus. Philemon 7. Your dad was quite a guy in a lot of ways. Philemon 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, Paul is telling this guy, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. See, there's what we miss having an internet family. We miss the encouragement from each other. We miss the help from each other. We just don't see each other, and we don't have each other. We can email. We might email once or twice. By the way, I'm happy to hear that some of you did write a sympathy card or whatever, you know, get well card to patients for her ridiculously stupid, unnecessary accident that she was forced to have upon herself. And from what I understand, it's not good enough yet, but still back in the painting rack she goes. You got to get the job where it stops. No one knows. There's Ted Mack in the original amateur hour, which I think many parents are, amateur fathers. Anyway, get back on track here. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Some of you folks, when you write to me, you just refresh me. You just get me going again. It's just exciting. And nobody understands, but when I see the names up here, when I see the word patience there, see, I realize now you're fighting the family to be here. Gary and Joyce, you're in Oregon, which I wish I still was back there for these purposes to meet you folks, but you're still there. You keep coming. You know, Jeanette, you've been there since probably almost the beginning, if not the beginning, just about. Mark, same thing. You guys are there, but we didn't even... You guys are there, but we did live video cams at the church, and we could wave to you, we could see you, and, you know, for a while there, the church, the website people were sending more money than the church. You were supporting the local church, which was backwards the way it's supposed to be. We were sending money out to people to help them. And Sam, you came and went, and you were there. You were you came to be Baruch, and some other things that took place. And Grandpa 666 or 666 or 6660 or whatever. And it's a joy. It's refreshing. It's encouraging. And I hope you feel the same way. Oh, good, Jeanette's here. Oh, good, Patience is here. Oh, good, Sam. Good. Sam made it here this morning. It's nice to see Juju stay. When I was back preaching in a local church, we had visitors, which was nice, you know, but I never got excited till the visitors came back. Then I started getting excited. Hey, they actually want to hear this stuff. That's exciting. So here it is, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Sometimes somebody's having a bad time. They're just having a horrible time. Yeah, I don't have a job. You don't need to tell them, yeah, I was out of a job one time when I was younger, and here's how I did it, blah, 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 blah. But you're trying to be encouraging through it, the 1 Corinthians 6 thing. But most of the time, we answer whiners with our whines. I got this pain in my left ear. Well, you know, I got this pain in my back over here, and my pain's better than your pain, so don't whine to me. I think that's why we tell people, oh, we've got it so much worse than you. Let's commit suicide together. Okay, fine. I'll pay for the ammo. I'll buy the pills. You can use my doctor for prescription. I don't care. Whatever. You want some rope? I can get it for you cheap. I can tell you a neat bridge. I can tell you a neat dam to jump off. Or can you really go down in glory? I can show you a really fantastic bridge in Las Vegas. Jump off that thing. You must have at least 30, 40 seconds, probably a minute to think about it on the way down. Go for it. But don't answer somebody's problems with more problems. I've done it. Hey, listen, I know of what I speak. I have done it. I probably still do it. But I realize now, more and more and more, now that I'm 63, going on 80, I want to talk about my past because I don't think anybody knows what I've done. Not trying to glorify it, but did you know that I used to teach in Las Vegas? No, I didn't know that. Yeah, those were back in my good days. Oh, I had this good band, blah, 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 blah. And they're going, why do I do this, you know? I know of a couple guys, I'm telling you. They always had something worse than what you had to do. And I try to hint around, as I'm hinting again now, for them to see that. I think when you get older, I think we just reminisce with people. Because I think maybe in America, old people just get zero respect. Zero respect. And I won't talk about it. I have a school issue I was going to talk about. I'll skip that because I'm whining, see? Anyway. Let's keep going here. How are we doing here? I don't want to even look at the clock. Let's go here to Philippians. There's a ton of good stuff in Philippians. I mean, Philippians is the book. Philippians is the book that just gets us going. Let's look at Philippians 3:13, for example. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. I mean, if Paul's got something down, he's got this down. I haven't got this other stuff apprehended. I'm working on it, Paul says, but listen, this one thing I got. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Boy, if we could get a hold of that. Every time we get up in the morning, you know, good morning. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Oh, I hate that thing. But anyway, forget about it. Keep going. It's not imputed anyway. It's going to burn the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to get away from it, but it's going to burn. And then it's gone. You get no reward. Yeah, but you better be thankful you're not burning. That's what Paul says. I'll tell you, if we could forget about the things that we've done yesterday and beyond, you could just perk right up again. Spit the pills out, empty the gun, put the knife back in the sheath, quit eating so many burgers, commit hogicide or pigicide or whatever. Turn the car off. Don't take anybody else with you when you go. That's totally unfair. Just forget about it and get going. You know, you say, I do. There might come a time where you say, I don't. And I won't. Goodbye. And keep going. And then he says, then he goes on, you know. Let us therefore, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize. He goes, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be otherwise, ask God to show it to you. Walk by Paul's walk, verse 17, find the people that are following Paul and hang around them. That's what he says. Throw it all in the past and get going with Paul and the risen Savior and find the people that are doing the same thing. And if you can't find them, don't be surprised. And go on by yourself. That's just what you got to do. Then you get lonely again because you want to commit suicide because now you're lonely. No, you don't need to be lonely. I got no friends. I got no man. I got no husband. I got no wife. I got no friends. I got no job. I got no money. Ah, but you got Christ. That just doesn't seem to work. But it should. It really should. But you see, with Christ comes the brethren. And we should be willing to help somebody get strong, not just pay them to be a bum the rest of their life. Anyway, I'm just yapping here. We got more Philippians. Go to Philippians 1. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse Wolf in German language, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Okay, so all these things that's happening to us, the divorce stuff, the unhappiness stuff, the sickness stuff, the job stuff, the unemployment, the no money stuff, or not enough money, or I've never had a problem of too much money. Never had that problem. Wonder what that problem's like. I'd like to try it for just 1 year. But anyway, all the things that happen to us, losing our friends, the hassles from our parents because we want to be the Paul stuff, I mean, all this kind of stuff that fits into our family here should fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. Right? It gives you a chance to say, well, this is what the reason is. This is being a Christian, Dad. This is being a Christian, neighbors, or whatever. This is what being is. This is what being a Christian. Or whatever. If they ask you, not just you're arrogantly acting and preaching about it, but you further the gospel by dressing right, walking right, talking right, being modest, not just in what you wear, but in how you behave and how you talk and how your hair looks, how your face is. You need to look like you've been sucking on a tomato for 15 years. I saw some people the other day, ladies, that looked like if they wiped the lipstick off, it wouldn't come. Been on there for so long. And I also... you remember the phrase, you take grandma to the beauty parlor, it's like painting an old barn. It doesn't do any good, you know. Makes it look a little better, whatever. I was seeing some people last night that the only thing that they fixed was their eyes and their lips. And the face, otherwise, it looked like the face went through a ringer backwards 50,000 times, like it's been around, you know. And I thought, okay, I've got myself an old, old barn. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to paint the door frame and the window frames. That's what it's going to look like. This nice, broken down, battered barn with really nice looking door and window frames. So who does that? So anyway. Sometimes I think makeup does have its place. But just kidding. There's only so much paint you can put on a barn and it's still broken and whatever. Go natural. Never mind. I love these old barns that we have. I'm going to have to go one of these days when the fall gets here. Go around here with my camera and take pictures of these old barns. Here we go. Let's see if I can get out of the mess I'm in here. There's beauty in history. These barns out here, they represent a life of simplicity and joy and hard work, and they've been around and they're just... I'm just enthralled by these older-looking barns, you know. Does that help? Did I get out of my mess? You know. You'll find pictures of old barns in books instead of, who wants to take pictures of a new barn? It's these old barns. They've got the character behind them. They've got detail. They've got stories and life. Those are the cool barns to go look at. There we go. Good. What did we turn to? We went to Philippians, didn't we? Things that's fallen out rather than to the furtherance of the gospel, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And here we go. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, if I know some of you folks are suffering because you're trying to live the life of Paul, I'm not happy about that. But I'll tell you what, it keeps me going doing this stuff. If I know that somebody's fighting their family and you're still fighting and you haven't given up, if I know that somebody's losing a spouse or a family or whatever because of you're sticking with Paul, or if I know somebody's struggling with their life but they keep going back to Paul and these sermons and stuff, and if I know somebody's out there and they've got all these other teachings going on but they still stick with this stuff, I'll tell you what, that keeps me going. Just like he says, you speak more bold to speak the word without fear. There's other people in your ship. There's more than just you in this canoe. You haven't got your paddle, and you got a hole in your canoe. Yeah, but there's everybody else is in there helping you throw the water out. It helps you keep going. And that's how I look at this stuff. How about 128? What do I have in 128? And to nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is evident of token of perdition. So see, to you, the things that are happening to you, you know it's because you're trying to follow Paul. They look at you and go, well, you know why your hand was nailed to the wall? Do you know why this is happening? Do you know why your life was losing your family? You know why? It's because you're a jerk and you're what you believe is not true. No, that is not the case. And nothing terrified by adversaries, because to them, see, what's happening to you is an evident token of perdition. But to you, we know better, and it's of salvation, and it's of God. Now, everybody out there says, well, I'm just being persecuted because I love God. No, you're probably being persecuted because you're stupid. You're probably in debt because you bought too much more than you made. You're probably not feeling well because of what you ate. You probably lost your house because you bought a bunch of other stuff. You probably lost your job because you said something stupid to the boss, or you didn't do your job right. Not always. Not always. But we have to consider that with people. But if we understand Paul's teachings, we know why Paul suffered. We know why Jesus suffered by the Jews, but we're not following that, which we'll talk about tonight. We'll get more of that tonight. What's going on anyway? We'll talk about that tonight. See, look at verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, that's risen Savior, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. You can suffer for religion, and it'll be a total waste of suffering. How many people gave their lives in the prehistoric days, in the Middle Ages days, for baptism? Hey, if I'm going to get killed because I get baptized, I'm not going to get baptized. There's just no way. I wouldn't do it anyway because Paul doesn't tell us to do it. But would you risk your life over getting baptized? No, not in the long, not forever, never. No, of course not. So how many people have died because of religion? What a waste of death. What a waste of... That's not. You didn't die for Christ's sake. You might have died for the Antichrist's sake to get other people to think that he had the truth or whatever. A lot of vain deaths out there. Christ's death is the one that counts, not yours. And we're not living in the days where persecution and suffering, or was it Church of Smyrna? Where you're going to get arrested and beaten and beheaded and all that stuff? Maybe it was, I don't remember those churches anymore. Well, let's see if we can finish up a little bit here. How about, did we do 1st, 2nd Thessalonians chapter 3? No, I think we can finish, that's a good one. Let's finish this one. 2nd Thessalonians chapter 3. I don't want chapter 3, I want chapter 1. Well, what's 3:3 say here? 3:3. Yeah, let's do two more. Let's go to 2nd Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Where it says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And somebody will say, well, there's that verse right there, King James Bible. Why did God not keep me from evil? Well, what do you expect God to do? Make your car turn right instead of left? What do you expect Him to do when you want to roll down your window and ask the lady how much? Do you think God's going to keep you from rolling down the window? God's going to keep you from evil by telling you in this rightly divided Bible what to stay away from. It's that simple. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to know what you should stay away from. Evil communications. Stay away from them. There's all sorts of things He tells us. This. From such, have no company. I can't remember the phrases now. Have no company. Come on now. From such, have no company. Avoid. Withdraw. Have no company with, or something like that. He tells us who to stay away from. What's shocking is most of the people He tells us to stay away from, it's the brethren who are dweeping around, not following Paul. He expects it. You can expect it from the lost world out there. Oh, Paul is so shocking. That's why I'm going to tell you tonight. Anyway, I do have to. I don't think we talked about it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then we'll be done here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is good stuff. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, not M-E-A-T, but M-E-E-T, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We need to have charity toward each other. Brethren, that's fine. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Endure. We need to have these things, and we're supposed to rejoice in them, not pull the trigger. I know, no job, no money, losing your house, losing your cars, losing your family, losing your children, losing your spouse, losing your everything. It just gives God a chance to be stronger. I know, it just sounds really religious-y, and we're supposed to glory in these things, if they're done for the right purpose, of course, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. So when somebody sings, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. You know what? A Christian can be somewhat worthy as well. That's what he's saying. It's based on our persecution. Verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Yeah, he hasn't done anything to my boss yet. He hasn't done anything to the people that fired me. He hasn't done anything yet to the people that took my house. He hasn't done anything to the guy that stole my wife. What's going on here? Well, remember, Romans chapter 2, God just storing that stuff up for their judgment. It's coming. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior, of course, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It's coming. God's going to get him eventually. And Paul said, listen, you know, we know the terror of the Lord, and he wants to see these people get away from it. He does care. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony, this is Paul, because our testimony among you was believed, in that day, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, knowing that it's going to cause suffering and tribulation. I tell you, we need to hang in there. God's going to get them, and he's going to take care of us when the time comes. Right now, we need to do what we can to get a job, and if we can't find a job, us brethren should try to help. I'm not good at it. I don't have any means of helping people financially. I don't. I am being helped financially by some of you folks. But we got a guy down in the Philippines, Garlix Dazan, who's had his third typhoon. And he hasn't lost anything on this one that I'm aware of, but he's really discouraged by it. Wouldn't you be discouraged by it if a river went through your house every couple of years and took everything you had? We're just not capable of helping people anymore. We're just in a mess. This is some tough days. I could go down my list and I could see all I know the difficulties we all have. I've got a couple guys that have written to me. They haven't had work for a long time. And this subject is very important to them. So I hope it's helped. I hope it helps us, doing the right thing with Paul is not going to guarantee a job for you. Not going to guarantee you the right guy. Follow the scriptures. You find the right guy. Find the right girl. Find the right job. Find the right place. And if there's nothing there, it'll give you the right attitude. It'll give you the right strength and courage and confidence to stand there and give God the glory.